Welcome to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on Sirius XM 129. If you want to listen to more of America This Week, subscribe to Sirius XM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. Now back to America This Week, live with Father Matt Malone and Carrie Weber.
We are back. I'm Carrie Weber. I'm here with Father Matt Malone, and you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM 129. We're talking with Bishop Robert McElroy of San Francisco about what Catholic social teaching says about inequality and what we can do to try to address those issues. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-888-322-CATHOLIC. That's 1-888-322-8465. So, Bishop McElroy, I wonder if you can talk to us a little bit about what we do next. What steps do we take to improve these drastic situations of inequality in our country? Are there practical things that can happen next?
Well, I think that the first change needs to be a change of heart in how we look upon the poor.
Mm-hmm.
And because that makers and the takers analogy really causes us to put the poor in another category and to ostracize them. And that's a paralyzing element in our society, I think. We really have to be, or take the perspective that Jesus taught us in the parable of Lazarus, who was a beggar, and the rich man. And Lazarus was outside the door of this rich man every day, and the rich man lived extremely well, and he never even threw the scraps on the table, the parable says,
right,
to the man in need. And it wasn't because the rich man was a bad man. It's that he didn't even recognize Lazarus there every day sitting before him in that other poverty. And that's what the Pope has called, you know, this culture of where we shut people out emotionally and refuse to see the suffering that is there. And I think so the first thing we have to do is acknowledge in the life of the poor the real suffering that is often there, and to try to empathize with that and not categorize people, and certainly not look on people as less worthy of membership in society, or full membership in society. But secondly, there have to be structural changes set up to really address in specific ways how we can economically change the rules of the game for the better, for the poor and the middle class. Internationally, for example, in our trading rules,
right,
Sub-Saharan Africa, which is the poorest place in the globe, they, in certain countries, can compete with us in producing cotton. And so here's the one area they can compete economically. And what do we do as a nation? And it's not just the United States, it's other nations too. We put a tariff on cotton to protect our own domestic producers of cotton. So we cripple Sub-Saharan Africa in one of the few areas where they can really compete on the international economic stage. So we have to look at those trading and finance rules internationally. We have to look at the fact that we give more money in terms of security and military aid to countries than we do for economic aid and development aid on the overseas questions.
Right.
Then domestically, we have to look at our policy on taxation and what we're doing for the poor in terms of food stamps, all right? Food support. We've been cutting that back. And this is one of the most effective programs we have in our nation to really help the poor and to help children. And to help children, eat at least one decent meal every day and have some fresh vegetables, those essentials. We're cutting back on those. We can't be doing that as a country if we really are going to have a future where our young people grow up to a better life with hope. And so those are the sorts of changes we've got to address. And the fact that we've changed our taxing policy in the last 20 years to sharply reduce the income tax rates for the highest levels of people in society, and thus added to the concentration of wealth.
Sure. You're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, Sirius XM, Channel 129. I'm Father Matt Malone, along with Carrie Weber, and we're talking with Bishop McElroy about income inequality in America. You can join the conversation at 1-888-322-8465. That's 888-322-8465. And I think, Bishop, that you made a very important point there, several actually, but the one that really struck me was, you know, when you were talking about the situation, you know, with in the cotton industry, right, that there are places in the developing world that produce cotton and they could actually sell it in the American market if we lowered our tariffs and, you know, pulled back on our subsidies and so forth. And so, but what you're essentially saying there is that there ought to be in that specific instance more free trade, right? And what that brings to mind is that what we're not talking about ideological solutions here, and neither is the Pope. In a sense, the Catholic social teaching is very practical. The values are clear, and the moral impetus is there. But how we effect these changes, we're, if you pardon the phrase, we're agnostic about that. Isn't that right?
I think it is. And we oscillate back and forth. Sometimes we'll say we're in favor of free trade in terms of national policies. But then you have examples like this where we erect a tariff precisely to frustrate free trade because our own cotton producers would be disadvantaged in some ways by that. And so we really have to look at finance structures and trading structures in the world to see how do they disadvantage the poorest countries,
right,
so that we cripple them, and how do we change that so that we enhance their ability to on their own and with some assistance then come to be economically self-sufficient and stronger.
Right. But of course that oscillation in our public policy between solutions that we would traditionally associated with the left and those we would traditionally associate with the right can only take place if people are open to new ideas, right? And we live in a country at the moment that is politically polarized, and the two parties seem to be, you know, struggling to overcome their own ideological views and their own kind of impoverished intellectual resources. So how do we as a political culture, you know, rise to the occasion, as it were?
I think that two things. One is we have to understand that as a political culture, we aim for the common good, which is the good of the whole society and in terms of the world, too. But we also have to look at what animates us. We get so caught up in the partisanship. I recently went to a conference for the Catholic Conference in the state of Washington, where they're trying to bring together all the different groups and people across the political spectrum to unite them on a series of issues that embrace the life of the poor from conception to the age of five. The mm-hmm. church there is making a commitment to that, and so it brings together both the pro-life movement, which focuses on the tragedy of abortion, and those who work with the poor, especially to focus on children in their first years of life. So the church is making a commitment to unite this two. And it was amazing to me to see how on the affective and spiritual level that commitment was able to bridge the partisan divide so that people at that conference from all elements of the spectrum were working together because they saw this is a real human being that we're dealing with here. These are children. These are God's children, part of the same family that we are. And I think by making it concrete, you can bridge some of those barriers which now divide us along ideological lines instead of really responding to how does God see this problem? How what does it mean to be compassionate disciple of Christ in this context of poverty of the world?
Right. And a program like that really seems to address that first challenge that you mentioned earlier of really making sure to see that person, to have that change of heart, to acknowledge the humanity of the people who are in poverty, of people who might need a little bit of help. And I think so often it's so hard for us to do that because people feel fatigued by the amount that they see. They feel tired by the amount of suffering and poverty in the world. How can we sort of find that energy to keep encouraging each other to work against these injustices and to actually continue to care when it's so much easier sometimes to go home?
I totally agree that there's a fatigue that can come on. It's a compassion fatigue. You know, we get so tied up in this, and that we insulate ourselves from the suffering that is there. It's a very natural human impulse. And so what we have to do is come up with ways of understanding the humanity that lies before us and opening our eyes anew to this. And that, I think that's that is the fundamental challenge this Pope is really saying to us on this question. You have to see Lazarus before you and understand Lazarus is there. We have a global culture that we've erected that shuts us off from that kind of compassion, and that we can't let that culture dominate.
Right. And you're listening to America This Week on the Catholic Channel, on Sirius XM, Channel 129. I'm Father Matt Malone. We're joined by Bishop Robert McElroy, an auxiliary bishop of San Francisco. We're talking about income inequality in the United States. And I just received a message from a friend of mine who said, you know, the theory and the theology are right, but the truth is that the Catholic Church in this country is actually showing us the way. We're actually doing the work of meeting people where they are and helping to provide for their social needs, their economic needs, their spiritual needs. And so that there's a model there, isn't there?
I think there's a model. And I was stunned happily so when about 10 days ago, the Pope had a conference at the Vatican where he invited a group of poor and powerless and marginalized people from various societies to come to Rome, and was able to arrange for them to come to Rome for this conference on empowerment of the poor, where we took seriously the role of the poor in fashioning their own destiny and moving forward in terms of all of the variety of issues that they face, challenges that they face. And it was a very inspiring conference for that reason, because there is great hope among the poor. There is a great sense, of course, of closeness to God among so many of the poor. And there's a desire for self-sufficiency. That is, the poor are not desirous of constantly being dependent upon the state, but there need to be structures and systems in play which allow them to move out of that poverty. And I really thought this conference that was held at the Vatican was a step in doing that, because it said the empowerment of the poor is the most important thing that we can do to collaborate and work with the poor and help them fashion their own destiny in the best possible.
Right. I think that balance between that independence and that interdependence is something that a lot of us struggle with. It's such a really interesting part of this whole process of addressing inequality, is respecting that people are able and want to do some things that will help them along the way. But also, we're all dependent on each other. I think we forget sometimes how interdependent we really are in all of the things. Americans love this idea of a self-made man, but nobody does everything just by him or herself. We all depend on others every step of the way. And I think it's good to remember that sometimes.
I think that's one of the great fallacies of this whole discussion, you know, and it got into one of those other discussions around the last election time, you know, who built it, you know, the companies that exist in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Are they really independent people who do this? And what the Church is saying on this is, it's a wonderful thing that the creativity of people who found companies and who come up with new ideas and technological breakthroughs, you know, reflecting the grace of God in their minds and hearts and souls, that's a wonderful gift to the whole of the world. And as they build these companies, there is a whole context, culturally, educationally, in terms of infrastructure, which allow those companies to thrive. And so it's not an either or. It's not one person built it or the society built it. It's both and both are necessary, and we need to see it within that context. That's where economic prosperity comes from.
Right.
And so, Bishop, how do you respond then to an entrepreneur who has a business and he says, you know, the Pope seems to be awfully hard on me. Like, I've created this thing, this enterprise, and it employs people. It gives them an opportunity to, you know, to make a living and so forth. And they feel as if the Pope doesn't quite understand that part. How do you respond to folks like that when you encounter them?
I would say and do say, look more closely at what the Pope is saying. Don't just follow the headlines, because one of the major themes that's been emerging in the last 2 months with the Pope especially is on the question of jobs. And this is around the world, too. In many countries, there is a generation being raised where they do not have the opportunity to get a job. That's less true in the United States, but in many societies, it's true now. And the Pope is saying, what we want to be able to provide to people are jobs, meaningful jobs, jobs where they can provide for themselves and their families and get ahead. And so I'd say to people who are looking at this, remember several things. First of all, the Pope is not saying we need to have a society where everyone is equal in terms of economic and material income. Secondly, the Pope is saying markets are in general a good thing. They're a good way to structure economic activity and to incentivize economic growth. And the Pope has pointed to areas like China and India in the last several years where there's been tremendous growth. But thirdly, to look at it and say that we need to be able to provide jobs which provides jobs meaningfully for all those who are seeking. And that's where, if we could do that, then our inequality problem would begin to diminish sharply.
Right. So it's not an either or, but as in so many other things, it's a both and.
And an affirmation of entrepreneurs who are really being creative, you know, presuming they're not exploitative, you know, that they're being creative. That's a good thing.
Yes.
And that's value. The Pope's statements value that, you know, and look, point to that as the pathway to solution, but not markets which absolutely have no rules that are designed to, in the end, serve the human person. You know, what I would say is Pope Benedict wrote a very interesting observation in one of his encyclicals right after the recession, you know, in which it was such a cataclysmic economic event in which the markets didn't work. It was a disastrous meltdown.
Right.
In which he said that markets left to themselves without a humanity that is to guide them as to what their ultimate goals are. Not every little transaction, but as to guide them in terms of the parameters that they are meant to serve the human person, the dignity of the human person, that markets will fail and fail more massively than just economic downturns. They will fail because they don't serve the human person.
Right. Without a personal or moral framework, then we've failed to create something that's truly human.
Yeah.
Well, you have been listening to America This Week, and Bishop Robert McElroy, who is Auxiliary Bishop in San Francisco. The article is Eye on the Market, Pope Francis's Message on Income Inequality, and it is in the November 3rd issue of America Magazine. Bishop McElroy, we're always delighted when you appear in our pages, and thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks very much. It's been great to be here.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of America This Week, courtesy of the Catholic Channel on SiriusXM 129. If you want to hear the full show every week, subscribe to SiriusXM and tune in on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern to the Catholic Channel, SiriusXM 129.